down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now it's that time of the year again in the run-up to this year's EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards night on November the 28th. We like to talk to some of this year's finalists about the issues they face as entrepreneurs. Perhaps no business working today remains free from all the issues around AI. Is it of benefit or is its importance greatly overstated? I'm delighted to be joined by Kieran Burke from Swoop, who is a finalist in the emerging category, Jonathan Larby from T-Pro, who's a finalist in the international category, and also joined by Stephen Nolan of Nutrilix, who's a member of the EY alumni. And Stephen, I might start with you as the senior man in the room in EY terms. Again, a previous winner of the Sustainability Award. Maybe you might just tell us, if you would, Stephen, what Nutrilix actually does, and a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Sure. So I'm the CEO of Nutrilix, and Nutrilix is a software business, and we help hospitality and food service businesses such as hotels, caterers, international restaurant groups, pub groups, run safer, more sustainable and more profitable businesses. And we do that by taking the complicated information in their food and drink supply chain, such as environmental impact, carbon footprint, allergens,
calories,
nutrition, cost, everything, bring that into a kind of central recipe and menu management system for them to design and build their menus according to budget or particular client requirements, and then help them publish that information out to customers, so be it on a food label, a website, and so on. So it's a full end-to-end food management
system. Okay, so it's all that sort of labelling, legislative, back of house stuff that a food business may have that they're, I suppose, responsible to communicate to their customers, such as allergies, dietary, nutrition, all those things. So you grab all that information and you present it in a way that it's accessible for customers.
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll talk about AI in a second and how it pertains to that. Let's go to our next guest, Jonathan Larby from T-Pro. Tell us a little bit about you and yourself and indeed your journey to T-Pro, Jonathan.
So I founded T-Pro about 10 years ago, and the business essentially does everything to do with documentation in a healthcare setting.
Okay.
So we produce, store, distribute and analyze documents, and we use AI to facilitate that essentially in multiple different ways. So, you know, my opinion is probably fairly biased here.
Okay, well, we'll get into the intricacies of AI in a second, but essentially your business is information gathering, and you gather specific healthcare information and you arrange that to be consumable for people to interpret.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a big sort of data quality and quantity aspect of what we do. But
right.
I suppose the sort of the key driver is really efficiencies. So when we started the business, there was a report done by PwC that said in America, doctors were spending over 50% of their time on paperwork and not treating patients. And that's what we're trying to solve.
Okay.
Help them operate top of license.
Okay. So it's another under the bonnet type of operation, not to be crude about it. But let's bring in our third guest, Kieran Burke from Swoop, finalist in the emerging gallery. Kieran, you're very welcome to the program. Tell us a little bit about you first and your business.
Thanks, Bobby. my name is Kieran, co-founder of Swoop. And what we do is we help business owners access financial products using their data, really solving access to finance is the principal need. So a lot of what we do is looking at things like lending or access to grants. And the more information we can get on that business, the more we can do, the more insights we can give them. So AI is becoming very relevant in terms of our capabilities and being able to do a lot more than when we started out maybe 6 years ago.
Okay, so just again to work through your product, if I'm a small business, I'm an SME, mm-hmm. I want to raise some money, for instance, to get me to the next stage, which is what we're all about here.
Exactly.
In the Entrepreneur of the Year program. How would I interact with you and your business?
Yeah, so you can come online to swoopfunding.com, one of our six markets, and you can start to put in your bank account details. We'll use kind of open banking connections, or you can put in your accountancy software, so maybe Sage, Xero, QuickBooks. From that connection, we can start to understand your numbers, what your credit position might be? Do you have serviceability for debt? What are the growth rates like in the business? Is there interesting trends in your revenue mix between your concentration of revenue or in your cost base? Use those insights to find the right product.
If you analyze my numbers and my bank accounts and my accounting software, etc., you can then take that information and go to a lender or if it's funding I'm looking for and say, you see these guys over here, this is exactly what you want for this reason.
Absolutely.
So you're effectively a matchmaker.
Absolutely.
Of sorts.
Yeah, complete matchmaker. And I suppose there's never been more options out there, both in a dating context and a financial intermediation sense of view. So being able to bring it all there and also just being able to show the options back to the business owner because, they might be able to get, maybe they want an extra tractor for their agricultural business and they might be based somewhere in the country where they can actually unlock a grant as well. So it's about blending maybe the loan they can get for the tractor with the grant they could also get to kind of reduce the cost of the capital.
Okay, so there's a lot of commonality, I think, between maybe the three businesses. And maybe it was to go back to you, Stephen, and talk specifically then about AI. How are you harnessing it in the business?
I think there's two ways that we harness AI. I suppose as a product business, we want to bring AI as much as possible into the product itself. And that's, for example, to support chefs with creating recipes quicker, as well as designing menus maybe a little bit more efficiently or more elegantly based on image-based AI and so on. So that's the product side. But then also in terms of the team and the people side, like we really see a role for AI for everyone in the business in some shape or form. I think that training around that is really critical. And if I pick, for example, the sales team, where we would see AI maybe supporting them quite a bit, building their knowledge of potential customers and helping them in terms of making sure that the language right and the context right and so on, and really supporting them in the background. But I suppose, conversely, AI in the sales context will never replace human and face-to-face and so on. So there's a mix of both.
But if you're looking at, let's call it fairly laborious, data-driven work in your business. So say you have to analyze the complex nutrition needs of a very long menu. Mm-hmm. That could take a lot of time. You're analyzing all the ingredients. Can AI short-circuit that?
Oh, absolutely. We can get recipe creation processes down into terms of a matter of seconds opposed to, minutes and potentially hours or menu design and so on. So it really does. It's about just understanding exactly how the chef works, what they want in their particular use case or what the customer wants and just, I suppose, supporting that in terms of the software.
Yeah, very interesting. Back to you, Jonathan. You mentioned your AI around documentation around healthcare, and you'd said earlier that doctors were spending too much time on administration. So walk us through maybe your own product and how it would result in a doctor being given more time to work in the front lines with patients.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can draw this all the way back to the sort of traditional doctor-secretary relationship where the doctors would dictate on an old sort of analog tape machine, because that is more efficient than scribbling notes down themselves, and the secretary then types that up into the system. So what we did about 10 years ago was we developed an AI-driven speech recognition software, which does sort of voice-to-text, but it was a bit more than just verbatim speech-to-text. We did a little bit of sort of post-processing and things like that, and really understood sort of medical language and did a bit of validation around, am I getting the drugs right? Is the dosage within tolerance levels and things like this, which has that layer of kind of accuracy and kind of safety into the documentation. And that's progressed now to the point where our latest tools, there's no proactive dictation. We actually just listen to a patient-doctor interaction. And rather than them dictating one letter, one note for the file,
it picks up what the action points out of the meeting or the consultation were.
It produces the three different artifacts for them. There's then other models and other, we call them agents. So we have a swarm of agents that do various different things. So it might then analyze those documents and pick out disease classifications and put that into a database to be analyzed by the hospital. So we're adding not just value to the clinicians and they're saving them time, but we're adding value in terms of the quality and quantity of data that the organisations have that they can then analyse. And that leads into all sorts of things like population health, where a government can look at an area and say, if I want to build some social housing here, what does my healthcare provision need to look like in 10 years' time?
Wow, that is really amazing. And the speed at which all this is happening, have you seen it accelerate in the last couple of years?
I think there's an element of the awareness has accelerated rather than the sort of the speed.
Right.
AI generally, and it was called machine learning a few years ago, and, you know, the awareness of this has accelerated, but it moves so quickly all the time. I think what has happened is there's been a big barrier to entry reduction in terms of OpenAI sort of got a jump on a lot of the big tech players. And the only way they could catch up was to sort of go scorched earth on everything. And they just open sourced all their models. And that means that a company like ours that doesn't have billions of euro to spend on lots of GPU processing.
You were able to tap into that.
We can tap into that and we can fine tune these foundational models and deploy them. And so
the second mouse gets the cheese.
Exactly.
All right. Well, back to you then, Kieran. In terms of AI, and again, you think you started off telling us there about matching the product that you have. You say you had sort of six key products that you're matching then with an SME needs.
Yeah, so we probably see about 300 businesses sign up, and there's now probably about 200,000 businesses in our database. And every day you have new sign-ups of businesses or existing businesses coming on and trying to find these different products. And in the marketplace, you might have thousands of products that they could access. So fundamentally, where we're trying to use AI is try, in the first instance, accelerate their access to finance as quickly as possible. So suck in as much data, whether it's from an integration or a document upload, associate that with an application, try get that closed as quickly as possible. But where it's going to get really interesting and similar to what Johnny was alluding to there, we can kind of feed all the data and insights that we've gathered on our 200,000 businesses and train it on these open source models to be like, can we go back to that business owner and give them a bit of an insight on their business? Often SMEs get ripped off and they have like the worst products, like banking is a perfect example of that. And they might be using their bank account to make foreign transactions to their development agency, and they're using their principal bank to do that, and actually over an annualized basis they might be paying 5-6k that they don't need to spend, and you can kind of send them a notification, you're being a bit of an idiot, why not change your banking, look at an FX relationship, reduce your expenditure. In the UK, for instance, you have to negotiate your energy contract on a one-to-one basis. It's lunacy, like there's no set fee, so it's complete cowboy country, but you can again take advantage by showing data back to see if they're overpaying or they're getting good value.
Okay, can I ask you this? In order for an SME to interact well with your business, do they really have to open up, like you mentioned there about bank accounts? I'm sure a lot of SMEs are terrified about opening up a bank account to anybody. So there's clearly a real delicate trust thing there.
For sure. And I think there's been an evolution there where people were more reticent. But I mean, cash is a pretty good carrot. Like getting financing, getting a loan is a good motivator. So if you want that cash, you kind of need to play the game. I think that's a big thing that we have in our favor. But you can genuinely show back to that business owner that giving more, you can get back a lot more, either accessing the cash or getting better insights in how you could potentially run your business.
Yeah. Stephen, in terms of the AI conversation, I think maybe, are we moving from a place where I suppose people may have seemed somewhat threatened by it to really seeing that there's a role for AI and there might be a different role for everybody else?
I think so. And I think we're seeing people adopt it, you know, quite early but wisely as well across particular areas of the business in terms of customer support or operational efficiency and so on. But equally as well, I think there's a recognition that it can't replace creativity and entrepreneurship and idea generation. Yeah. And, you know, you can't type into ChatGPT how to grow your business. You know, you still need to do, there's a lot of the kind of human touch, you know, and that's not only in business in terms of kids creating art and, you know, there's the whole creativity side that will always stay.
But you could have said that, could you not? Jonathan, about customer service, where, you know, all these automations with banks, with utility providers, that it's almost going backwards by the embracing of technology.
Yeah.
In terms of putting the customer first.
No, absolutely. And I think I probably agree with Stephen, though, that you can't replace that human relationship in a lot of things. But you mentioned it earlier, those kind of lower value, lower touch skills, things like you know, filling in a form for a bank over the phone. That was horrendous for people for a long period of time. If you can train an agent to do that, or train a model to do that, that just elevates things. And that, you know, we were in an economy at the minute where there's 100% employment. And so you look at how we scale our economy, how we become more productive as a society, then this is, you know, one of the most obvious ways to go.
All right. Last word to you, Kieran Burke. AI and its role in your business going forward, where do you see it?
Yeah, we see it having a pretty pivotal role, both in terms of the product, but I see our own team starting to adapt it and kind of become superhumans by as kind of Johnny alluded to there, finding some of those inefficient tasks that they maybe would have done that they can now replace with AI and just become a lot more efficient. So we're definitely going head first into it and trying to use it as much as possible.
Well, okay. Well, I'd like to say that we're heading towards November 28th, the awards night, when two of the three here will be keeping your fingers crossed. So I wish Kieran Burke from Swoop, a finalist in the emerging category, every success there.
Thanks, Bobby.
Also, Jonathan Larby from T-Pro, a finalist in the international category. Best of luck to you. And our stalwart here, Stephen Nolan of Nutritics, a man who won the first sustainability award at the awards. So well done to you. And that's an award no one can ever
Down
take
to
away.
Business Stephen. With Bobby Kerr.
Cheers. Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.